It's time to come together to get it done so that we can truthfully say in America, no child will be left behind. Not one single child.
Watch me test, do it. And show my knowledge.
Okay.
Watch me test, test, and show my knowledge.
Want me to do it?
Watch me test, do it. And show my knowledge.
Okay.
You're about to listen to graduates of Northwestern, UCLA, and Ball State, all of them successful business owners, solve a fourth grade standardized test word problem.
All right, Claire, I'm starting the timer. You have 5 minutes, beginning now.
Write the numbers 1 to 3 next to the correct 3 steps below to show the order in which the woodworker should perform them. I don't even know. What? Well, okay, order of importance. Got it.
Scott, you have 5 minutes, starting now.
Okay, a woodworker is building 5 tables. He wants to figure out how many feet of wood each table can have. He has 603 feet of board. That would be... This is where my dad would not be proud of me.
Rob, you ready? 5 minutes, go.
How many feet of wood each table can have? He has 603 feet of board.
Aren't I done?
Today's episode takes a look at the SBAC. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe not. What is it exactly? Parents understand it to mean the standardized test their child will take at the end of every school year, 3rd through 8th grade and 11th grade. We're told the score doesn't matter, that it has no bearing on our child's education, and that it's simply a tool the state of California uses to assess its schools and teachers, and to make sure kids are indeed progressing toward college. But if that's the case, why is there so much stress around this test? Why do so many parents, teachers, and kids hate these tests so much?
Yeah, I'm gonna take this test. I'ma do my best and I'ma try till I can't no more.
We're all drinking the Kool-Aid as parents.
Parents, teachers, and kids. We want to hear from all three, but let's start with parents.
I feel my heart flutter and I think, God, either I accept the fact that my child does not exceed state standards and all the worry and the weight of that, or do I say, fuck you, test?
That's my wife, Anna. She's not a fan of the SBAC.
The reason we told our daughters that they shouldn't stress about the SBAC tests is because they were stressing about the SBAC tests. One of my daughters had terrible anxiety, especially at night. Stomach ache after stomach ache. And after consulting her doctor, the doctor said, sounds like test anxiety.
I don't care what his score. I'm not going to have a score tell me who my child is. But I just let my son's score tell me who I was.
That's our neighbor and friend, Paula. Our kids go to the same neighborhood elementary school. Paula was president of the PTA a couple of years ago. She had always thought of herself as someone who didn't put a lot of stock in standardized test scores.
I see on Facebook that they have posted the scores if you go on to Schoology. Keep in mind, I don't even go on these sites, right? But I hear that the test scores are out. And Little Miss, I don't care. I so don't care. I don't even know how to get on a portal. I'm like, get me the fucking portal. I'm like, I am breaking this code right now. I am going to find out how smart my child is.
Parents race to the Schoology portal to see how their child scored because it does, in fact, affect the type of education their child will receive next year.
Then I look up and I'm like, okay, I think I pushed this. And I pushed it and I look. His scores have gone down.
They've gone down. Oh my God.
My wife and Paula are both Greek and sometimes slip into these funny Greek accents, usually when it's something that's not easy to talk about. Greeks are also naturally dramatic, but perhaps with good reason in this case. Schools use the SBAC score to place students in certain classes, in certain academies within the middle school they're moving on to. They use the score to determine if a child should be admitted into a STEM school or an honors program, or programs for more creative types.
What about the kids that don't test well, but writing is their passion, and they're driven by it, and they're motivated by it, and they're interested in it, and it's what they want to do? So these kids, they don't get to do it because of this SBAC?
My wife is referring to the creative writing elective at our local middle school. Spots are reserved for students who exceed state standards 3 years in a row on the SBAC. That's 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. The problem is, it's the overall score that they're looking at. So if math is not a strong suit, you can't do creative writing. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't.
Time to take the S back. Say, I can take the S back.
We've come to talk to a teacher, Miss Granger. She teaches fourth grade at a public elementary school in the San Fernando Valley. And we asked her about the SBAC.
Honestly, it's on my mind from the minute we start school in August. We're really working on it all year long.
Do you notice that students' behavior changes during SBAC week of testing or the lead up to it?
Yes. They are very stressed out. They are frustrated. They're scared. They cry a lot. They feel very worried about what the test is going to be like and how it's going to affect them in the future.
Do you remember any child in particular and how they reacted to this?
Miss Granger proceeded to tell us about one little girl who we will call Hermione. And she endured a tremendous amount of stress during the week-long test.
When she thought about the math portion of the test, she would start to cry. And it wasn't until I told her, holding her shoulders and looking in her eyes, that it didn't matter. That it did not matter. That, you know, that's... I know she was really, really worried about it.
We had so many questions for Miss Granger and so little time, but I really wanted to ask her how much the SBAC factored into how she designed her curriculum. In other words, did she in fact teach to the test? And she said, yeah, she teaches to the test. She has no choice.
A few years ago, it was put in the LA Times, right?
Wait, what was put in the LA Times?
The teacher's rating.
No
like,
way.
You can look it up. It will say my name, and you were rated as most effective, effective, not effective. Like, there were categories. Every teacher's name with our language arts rating and our math rating. But based on our test scores.
That's a kind of shaming.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that since her job review depended on how her students performed on this test, that, like the parents, she too would race to see the scores as soon as they were posted. But she seemed surprisingly indifferent. She was more concerned about the psychological effect these supposedly meaningless scores were having on her students.
I don't actually even know how my kids did. I know that I had a huge stack of kids who got 100% on the test scores because they do that horrible thing right before SBAC. Do you guys know about that?
What is the horrible thing?
The school-wide awards ceremony, where they give awards to the kids who got 100% on the SBAC in language, arts, and math, and the kids who got 100% in both. And we ask them to not do it because all it does to these kids is the ones who got the 100% get super stressed that they have to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones look at these kids and go, well, I'm not like them. I'm never going to be like them. I might as well just give up. And the kids vocalize that to me.
Miss Granger is a campus favorite. She reads aloud to her class every day, making it a point to finish several novels each year, even though it means less time
what
prepping
I did
for the SBAC.
Was I read to them. I read to them. And people are like, but that's not... They should be reading for themselves. No, no, they will. They will. But you scaffold that, right? You pick really interesting books that they can get sucked into, and you teach them how to think about what they're reading. And then pretty soon, they're enjoying so much what you're doing, and then you're giving them independent time, and then they're doing it for themselves, and then they love to read. But we've stripped all of that out of reading. We've compartmentalized all of these skills and strategies, and we teach them separately. Oh, I'm teaching main idea today. Oh, I'm teaching inference over here, right? I'm teaching decoding. And we've turned them into these separate things, and then we test them on it And then we tell them that they failed, and then we wonder why they don't like to read.
A woodworker is building 5 tables. He wants to figure out how many feet of wood each table can have. He has 603 feet of board.
You remember when we did that problem?
Mm-hmm.
You brought home the SBAC practice prep packet, right?
It's actually a countdown, but yeah.
Oh, the countdown to the SBAC.
Mm-hmm. It's like countdown 17 weeks or countdown 12 weeks.
And do you think kids learn from taking the SBAC? Like, do you learn anything from studying for it?
Not really.
Okay, I get it now. He's got 603 feet of wood.
What? What? I don't even know. What?
I haven't even gotten halfway through this problem. So what grade is this question?
4th grade.
What does this even mean?
So if you have 5 tables, each table is going to have 120 feet of board. That's a huge tables. That's like whaling tables. You're going to chop up a beluga on those things.
Stay hopeful and stay tuned. In Act Two, we will be speaking with policymakers, change makers, and education innovators. And we will find a solution to all of our problems.